I'd like to welcome you to another episode of True Admissions. I'm Kent Barnes, your host, and today my guest is Bruce Epstein. He is an independent counselor with First Choice College Counseling. Bruce, welcome. It's great to have you.
My pleasure, Kent. Thank you so much for having me on.
Bruce, could you tell me a little bit about your business and your work as an independent counselor?
Sure. I actually studied aeronautical engineering at MIT, but had a long career in software engineering. And about 20 years ago, a fellow MIT alum suggested I interview students applying to MIT. And I conducted maybe 100 interviews over about 10 years. And at some point, I decided with my wife that we were going to start our own college counseling business, First Choice College Counseling. And, you know, since that time, we have spent a lot of time working with students, visiting colleges, educating ourselves, all those things. And our focus has traditionally been STEM students and some student athletes in a handful of sports, but it's really expanded to not just, high achieving students aspiring to the most selective colleges, but, you know, everyone from, you know, C and, you know, even D students hoping to just find a college that they can have a great experience at. We work with international students as well. And we usually start working with students around their junior year, sometimes sophomores, very occasionally early as freshmen, but we're working with a lot of juniors now, so it's a timely discussion.
Thanks, Bruce. And that's the reason that we wanted to talk to you a little bit today is about juniors. This is oftentimes prime time for juniors and sometimes sophomores to begin their college search. They sometimes plan their spring break trip around visiting colleges and maybe start to experiment a little bit with campus interviews. So I'm really glad to have the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about juniors. You had written just an outstanding email to the National Association for College Admissions Counseling's listserv about some advice you were giving to juniors who were beginning the college search. And it was really inspiring to me. And that's why I wanted to have you on as a guest of True Admissions. So I'd like to jump in with a couple of questions. And I want to start by asking you how you're advising juniors that you work with about navigating distance learning and online school from the high school perspective. They're experimenting with something new and experiencing something new. And I'd love to get your perspective on how you're advising them on how to navigate this new type of learning and how it might fit into the college search.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's two parts of that. One is the actual learning at home. And so my advice for that is, you know, try to find a quiet place in your home if at all possible. Make sure you have a good internet. If you don't or can't afford internet at home, there are companies that are providing that for free now, like Verizon and Comcast. If you don't have a laptop or a desktop, you know, try to contact your school or classmates to get one. So I'd say the first thing is make sure you have a great learning environment at home. And there are lots of online resources and things like that people can take advantage of. But I think people underestimate how much being in a classroom with a teacher, you know, helps them focus, and they need to try to do it their best they can at home with that. That said, I think the other part of the question that juniors are struggling with is like, well, what does it mean for their, you know, college admissions type of, you know, future? And I'd say, you know, we're really encouraging students to focus on the learning the material and the education that they're getting and not worry so much about how it looks to colleges. Most high schools are probably going to be going to pass-fail grading. Most universities will probably accept that at this, you know, extraordinary time due to coronavirus. So I'd say, focus on learning the material. Don't worry so much about what it means per se for college admissions right now.
Really great advice, Bruce, and sort of what I'm interpreting you as saying is relax, focus on the now, and make sure that you're doing the work that is assigned, even if it is in a different manner. So I think that's incredibly valuable advice to the students who are engaging in something new. I'm interested in another angle on this, and it has more to do with your business in college counseling as an independent counselor. And I'm really curious to know, what advice are you offering students relating to navigating the beginning of the college search process when they can't get out and they can't visit? What are you recommending right now?
Yeah, you know, again, another great question. Every year we start our talks with students saying, you know, we're here to help take the stress out of your college success. And our first message is relax. You will find a college that loves you and that loves you back. So, you know, everyone in this profession, school counselors, teachers, admissions officers, they're all trying to, you know, every year put students first. And this year is no exception. And, you know, there's a lot of aspects to that, not just academic, but, you know, personal growth, physical health, mental well-being. And, you know, the schools are really, you know, bending over backwards to focus on the things that have really always been there as part of, you know, holistic admissions. And so, you know, I say take it as it comes, focus on the, you know, the things that have always been important for holistic admissions, which are things like, you know, what you're interested in doing and what you're passionate about and how you interact with others. You know, the as much as it feels different than previous years, it's really the more things change, the more they stay the same. The focus of the students has maybe changed, but colleges all along have been, you know, hoping that students aren't just focused on like, you know, doing things for a college search specifically, and that they're doing things that, you know, they really care about. So none of that's really changed, even though it feels so different this year.
Great. I hear once again that theme of relax and focus on the here and now and not get ahead of yourself in regard to the college search. I think that's really reassuring advice. Bruce, are you seeing any best practices that are emerging that colleges are offering to replace spring visits and interviews for students for colleges that offer interviews? Are you seeing any best practices emerge?
Absolutely. As you're probably aware, all of the colleges are thinking and talking about this. They're working so hard right now on the admitted students, the current high school seniors with virtual tours, online chat sessions, one-on-one with admissions and other students. So I think you'll see them leverage all this technology experience and all the content like virtual tours that they're creating for high school students, for the seniors that, you know, even for students who are at the beginning of their search, it'll benefit them as well. I think there will be windows in maybe June, July, or August when college campuses are open for visits. And so don't stress about that. If you're a junior who hasn't visited colleges yet, that's fine. When you do have the opportunity, you just at least visit a few of different types. And like, you know, then other people who are more familiar and have visited them before can say, oh, it's this college you didn't have a chance to visit is like that one, or they're, you know, you might prefer these colleges that are in the same geographical region or size or athletic conference, whatever it may be. So one big tip is to relate the colleges you have visited or do know about to the ones maybe you didn't have the chance to visit. And that's always true. We have international students on both coasts who can't, you know, fly cross country. And, you know, my two daughters, one wanted to visit 50 campuses and the other wanted to visit zero. And they both found colleges they were happy at. So there's a lot that you can learn on campus. I definitely recommend it. But juniors and sophomores, by the time they're admitted, I'm hoping the campuses will be open in the spring. And in the meantime, you know, talk with your school counselors, talk with your teachers and parents. And, you know, a lot of them have attended or visited these colleges, and that's a great place to start. As far as interviews, I don't expect that to change a lot. The interviews usually aren't until the fall or even the winter, January. And so hopefully things are back to normal by then. But if not, you can do a lot of those things remotely, you know, by video. I think the real emphasis is that, you know, the things like essays and your activities and recommendations from your teachers always have generally a greater impact than interviews, and that'll still be the case this coming year.
Really great advice. and perspective. Thank you, Bruce. I really value the advice that you're providing to students about those experiences. You know, this is my 28th year doing this, and I would say that the more things change, the more they stay the same, as you recommend, you know, getting out there and visiting a large place and a medium place and a small place, and then using that experience to sort of place that on colleges that might be on a student's list. So really valuable advice. I'm going to maybe challenge you with this question, but what are three of the most important pieces of advice you're providing to juniors right now?
I guess in no particular order, I think my top three would be as follows. Number one, like, relax and think clearly. Things are chaotic. They're bound to change. You know, you have to plan to be maybe working, studying from home for months, not necessarily just days or weeks, and you don't need to do it all today. So number one, relax and think clearly. Number two, I'd say use this time wisely. You know, you have the chance to be self-directed, find an activity or a passion that's meaningful to you. Learn to play guitar if you haven't, practice violin if you love it, you know, write a poem, paint a picture, make sure you get exercise. You know, use this time to do stuff that is meaningful to you, because ultimately that brings you happiness. And frankly, it's what colleges, you know, are interested in. You know, what's meaningful to you becomes meaningful to them. And then number three, although not necessarily third, maybe first on the list, is, you know, it's okay to be overwhelmed, to be anxious or even depressed from this. You know, don't worry so much about college. Worry more about keeping yourself and your family and your grandparents healthy. Ultimately, they're way more important than college. So, you know, it's all right to be anxious about the health crisis, but hopefully keep it in perspective, and college isn't as worrisome as you may think it is at this point.
Really helpful advice. Relax, use your time wisely to pursue your passion, and put your family and your health first. That's incredible advice, regardless of what order you place those things in, Bruce. I really appreciate that, and I think that's actually something that I could use also. What is your thought? Does COVID-19 and the coronavirus become a source for many essays as an illustration of grit and resiliency? Each time there's sort of a crisis in our country, it becomes the source of a lot of essays. Or is this one going to be a little too hot to handle, or too, as they sometimes say, is it too soon? Do you have a perspective on that?
Well, I think, you know, there's a source of discussion among, you know, independent and other college counselors. I think it's going to be a very common topic. I don't necessarily recommend that. I don't think that students really realize that an admissions officer may be reading 1,000 essays. And if yours is the, you know, number 300 that covers coronavirus, there's really nowhere to go with it that's going to advance your candidacy, frankly. Mm-hmm. So I'd really recommend that unless students literally, you know, were involved with, you know, developing a test or a vaccine or personally sewed 1,000 face masks for their local hospital, I'd really recommend they stay away from that as a topic. I'd focus on what they did during this time, which may not have anything per se to do with coronavirus. And, you know, you really need to demonstrate the qualities and the activities and the interests that are important to you, and let the reader infer whether that means you have grit or resiliency. As we always say, show, don't tell. So I would recommend most students avoid this as a topic unless, you know, they have a very compelling reason to focus on it.
Bruce, for all of the students and the parents who are listening to True Admissions, I hope that this is the piece of advice that they take with them. Your example of that admissions officer reading 1,000 essays all about coronavirus and COVID-19, that's right on the money. But I think also your advice that if they can connect personally to this, there may be some real value. So really important perspective. A couple more questions I have for you, Bruce. Thanks for your patience and great perspective in sharing with the audience of True Admissions your valuable expertise. I'm hearing increasingly from my friend group that some juniors are concerned about their viability with colleges and getting in if they have a semester or a half a semester that doesn't have any grades, that is passed no pass because of distance learning. Are you advising or reassuring students in this? And are you hearing this from your client base that there's concern about pass, no pass? What's your thought and perspective on this, Bruce?
I've heard the concern. Frankly, I've heard it more from students who are applying to medical school or other graduate school programs worried about it. Honestly, it rings a little hollow in the sense that, like, if you're lucky enough that your biggest problem is whether you got an A+, then you're in really good shape, you know? So in some sense, privileged students are in the same boat. There are a lot of students who may not have a home computer or internet, or they may even be homeless or not getting meals outside of their school, where some students get one or even two meals a day. So I really, you know, try to help my students and all students and my own children, you know, keep things in perspective. If your biggest worry is that a pass damages your future, then frankly, your future is probably already quite bright. And if you do want to advance your case for college admissions, focusing on that sort of thing does not help your case. It actually makes you less attractive to your dream school. So, you know, it's a chance to demonstrate empathy. It's a chance, as John McCain said, to find a purpose larger than yourself. I hope that this is not the focus of students' lives. I recognize that it is, but, you know, don't confuse the praise or the achievement with the actual accomplishment. You can learn just as much, if not more, while not worrying about the grade. So learn the material. And if it's truly education that motivates you, you'll do much better in college admissions and beyond.
Great advice. Thank you very much, Bruce. Two last questions. Given the movement recently and by a lot of colleges in response to coronavirus to move to test optional, and of course, with the cancellation of so many spring standardized tests, the ACT and the SAT and the TOEFL, are you advising students any differently given test optional admissions and the cancellation of exams?
Yeah, I think it's surprising to a lot of students to understand the status of testing as it is. Depending how you measure it, there's 3,000 or 4,000 colleges in the U.S. Well over 1,000 have already been test optional. There's a fairtest.org lists them all. More and more schools prior to coronavirus were going test optional, even, you know, highly, highly selective universities like University of Chicago. So testing has already, I think, been on the decline as an emphasis. If you've completed your standardized testing already, that's fine. You can submit them. If you haven't, that's fine too. It's really not going to make any difference for my students or for most students where they'll apply or be admitted. And I'd say focus on what you can control, the activities you undertake, your essays, your teacher recommendations, you know, learning all the material, you know, in class and beyond class. And, you know, really the point of high school is to learn the material, not to be tested on it. So I think standardized testing, you know, has been declining its importance, and this will accelerate it. And, you know, focus on the things that are more meaningful, both in the short term and the long term, like your family, your health, you know, your faith, your education, et cetera. And standardized testing, like the question about pass, no pass grades, isn't going to change the majority of situations.
That's a perfect entry to my last and final question for you, Bruce. My daughter, Martha, is 15. She's going to be a junior next year. And of course, won't be taking a standardized test this spring. What should I be telling her to reassure her that she's going to be okay when it comes time to apply to college? I'm asking you, Bruce, because she's not going to ask me for any advice in this. But you, as an independent counselor, somebody who advises many students, might be able to help me reassure her if she needs to be reassured about this.
Yeah, you know, I laugh because nobody's kids listen to their parents, right? So my kids don't listen to me about college counseling any more than some other kid listens to their parents. I'd say, you know, what I've learned as a parent over the years is that it's really the things that you don't talk about and don't intend to communicate that the students and kids actually pick up on the most. So I think that, you know, it's a very common question, not just this year. How do I reassure my student? How do I take the pressure off them? But often those parents are simultaneously talking about visiting or standardized tests or other college preparation things like on a daily basis. So I'd say you really, you know, you no matter what you say out loud, they're going to interpret it differently. And it's really the behavior you model. So certainly, you know, clear the air. If your daughter wants to talk about it, certainly talk to her. But say, look, it's going to work out. Our health is the first and most important thing. You know, you're under stress. We're under stress. Like, let's deal with it as best we can and not add to it by focusing on colleges. And then you really have to model that behavior, right? Like, we all have our own stresses with health and money and jobs and you know, things that break around the house and things like that. And so, you know, take care of yourself as a parent. Invite the kids along. Go for a walk, you know, play catch in the yard, you know, do some yoga, do a jigsaw puzzle or, you know, binge watch Tiger King or whatever's popular on Netflix. Just let them see you dealing with your stress, and that'll help them get the skills to deal with it. And, you know, you can bring up college and admissions, you know, in a couple months when a lot of the chaos has subsided. I think, frankly, there's a lot of pressure on our school kids all years. They could use the break, and we can treat this kind of like an extended snow day. And it's not some ticking time bomb that they have to do things by, you know, a certain date. The world will move on. So, you know, I'd say relaxing as a parent is the most important thing you can do to help your student relax as well.
Awesome, Bruce. Great advice. And although we haven't been watching Tiger King, we have been watching Friday Night Lights as a family, and Martha is loving it. And actually, this week was when Julie Taylor visits a bunch of colleges in Boston. And Martha asked, well, is that what it's really like? And I said, oh, no, no. And I used your term, Bruce. I told Martha, just relax. You got plenty of time to think about colleges. So really helpful advice. Bruce, I'd like to thank you for taking time with True Admissions. You've been an outstanding guest, and you provide incredible information for the students who we serve and students across the country. So thank you so much for being with us again today, Bruce.
It's been my pleasure, and I appreciate all you're doing. I know you're on the front lines this time of year and every year, so good luck to you as well. Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another episode of True Admissions. I look forward to the next episode, and I want to wish you the best. This is Kent Barnes signing off.